In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, we Catholics, of course, are very accustomed to speaking of Mary as our Queen. It has, of course, the Old Testament roots, because so many things of the Old Testament provide, as it were, those types and prefigurements which find their fulfillment in the Gospel. And so, we see indeed that after the death of David and Solomon became the king, and the king indeed who built the temple in Jerusalem, his mother Bathsheba therefore became the, as it were, the queen mother. This is still a title that's familiar among the British, who are fond of the queen mum, as they say. So it's not unusual then, of course, that in the fulfillment of the line of the kings of David, that there should be eventually, in the fulfillment of the prophecies, the arrival of the King of Kings, who did not construct a temple, but is the temple. And his mother, too, in the same fashion, as Bathsheba was the queen mother, so too the mother of the Lord is the queen. Your custom as well, of course, of honoring her in the various feasts of the church and the praying of the rosary. Obviously, when we pray the glorious mysteries of the rosary, we commemorate indeed the crowning of Mary as Queen of Heaven and Earth. There is an ancient understanding that the Latin phrase is lex orandi, lex credendi, the rule of prayer, of worship, is a rule of prayer and worship. And that the two have an interconnection, if you will, between the prayer and the worship of the people and what we believe. And from them both flow, you might say, the piety of the people and the devotions. So there is a sort of a doctrinal understanding of Mary as the Queen. And then there is the devotional understanding. How could it be any other way? Because a mother is not simply a doctrine. The mother is always a movement of the heart. Her title, of course, which we address this evening, is the Queen of Apostles. So having understood, of course, Mary as the Queen, we now should seek to understand why it is she is Queen of the Apostles. Now, it's good to know as well, as a matter of simple fact, that our Lord gathered among himself, around him, many disciples. Disciples are students. And from the many disciples, he chose the 12. These 12 he also called apostles. Apostles means simply those who are sent. So our Lord then, over a period of some 3 years, having selected among those various disciples, these 12 apostles, formed them into the gospel. He formed them, of course, not only by his teaching, but also by his signs, his miracles, and by his very person. Being in his presence was formative. Now, we know, of course, as well, that the role of Mary in God's plan of salvation is instrumental. That at the very beginning, as God's plan unfolded, he selected Mary, even before she was, as it were, she was conceived And indeed, this is the very feast for which we celebrate this octave. That the Immaculate Conception of Mary indicates the first unfolding, you might say, in time and in history of God's plan of salvation for mankind coming to fruition. Then, the significant event of the Annunciation, where Mary receives the message of the angel that she's to be the mother of the Savior and conceives within her womb the King of Kings, the Word made flesh. The birth of our Savior then manifests, indeed, the King of Kings, witnessed to by the wise men from the East. Finally, of course, the culmination of God's plan of salvation is manifested in the great Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord. In all these instances, of course, the Blessed Mother is present. Indeed, right to the very end at the foot of the cross. And then, during those 40 days after the Lord's resurrection, she was with them and certainly witnessed her risen Son along with the 12. Or should we say at this time, the 11. Then after the Lord ascended into heaven, he directed his apostles that they should go to the upper room, that is the cenacle, the very place in which he had instituted the Holy Eucharist on that night before he died. Now at the Last Supper, of course, the Blessed Mother was not present. For such an event was the institution of the priesthood and of the Holy Eucharist. And so in this holy night, then, our Lord instituted the priesthood, and he appointed the 12 to be his first priests. Mary, of course, was not a priest. Nevertheless, upon the instruction of our Lord that after his ascension, they were to gather in the cenacle and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Mary was present with them for this first novena. Now, you know, novena is 9 days of prayer, and there were 9 days in which the apostles were to pray in the upper room awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit. And with them was Mary, as well as others. So during these 9 days, it can be understood, of course, although it's not much is spoken about this in the scriptures. It's passed over without much elaboration. It must be understood that in those 9 days, this would have been the most intimate time that the Blessed Mother spent with those apostles. And as in the prior 3 years, our Lord had formed a close relationship with his apostles, now upon his suffering, death, and resurrection, and now ascension into heaven, their attention would naturally have focused very much on the Blessed Mother, who had borne the Savior in her womb, who had nursed him at her breast, who gave him instructions as a child, and to whom the Lord had been obedient. And indeed, the tradition of the church reveals for us that sometime during this period of time, that the Blessed Mother had revealed to the apostles, or perhaps to St. Luke directly, those intimate details which only she would have known, and which the evangelist recorded in the gospel. In these means, then, the very important role by which Mary served as a sort of a further witness to the apostles, witnessing to them those many things which she alone knew because of her intimate relationship with her Son. Now, the church has long spoken about Mary Magdalene being the one who was close to the Lord in his ministry, and the one who had gone to the tomb early on that Easter Sunday morning and seeing the tomb, the stone rolled back and beholding the Lord, was the first to reveal to the apostles in the upper room that the Lord had arisen, and that the church has always considered her, as it were, the apostle to the apostles. She, of course, was not a priest, and so the term apostle is used in a different way, you might say, but in the very true sense of the term, that is, one who was sent. And so, too, Mary, the mother of the Lord, can be understood in a similar way. She was, indeed, sent by the Lord himself to be in the upper room with the other apostles. And so she was, in that time of prayer, those 9 days of prayer, an example for them. St. Pope John Paul II refers to that time in the cenacle before the coming of the Holy Spirit as a particularly precious time in which the full character of the church is most fully, as it were, laid out in God's plan. That the prayerful attitude of the church expressed in the life of Mary. And then, as it were, the hierarchical aspect of the church expressed by the other apostles, primarily, of course, with Peter as the chief of the apostles. Where, of course, at the cross, the Lord had left that instruction to John that he was to see in Mary his own mother, and she was to see in John, and by extension the other apostles, her sons. Therefore, Mary's role is enriched, shall we say. Since she is indeed the mother of the Lord, now she becomes the mother of the apostles. And she is indeed the queen of heaven and earth and the queen mom. She, by extension as well, becomes the queen of the apostles. Well, those are some of the, you might say, sort of deducted ideas, if you will, or a little bit of inquiry into the notion of her role as and her title as Queen of Apostles. It didn't arise in the early church. Indeed, it is one of the earliest titles of Mary, but it didn't arise from a deductive reasoning. It arose from the faith, and it was nurtured in piety, as all the other titles of Mary have developed in the tradition of the church. As we reflect upon that great mystery of the Savior, the Word become flesh, the church has naturally begun to inquire and reflect and meditate upon that mysterious role of Mary, a human person chosen by God to be the mother of the Savior and the Word made flesh. The Mother of God, the Mother of the Savior, the Queen of heaven and earth, the first to lead truly the apostles in that first novena, awaiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the apostles prayed with her, and they certainly benefited by her prayers. And so do we. Mary, Queen of the Apostles, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.